On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, it's week two of fall camp, and we are back with another edition of the Camp Report. Joining me today is Greg Medea. You all know him from the Daily Progress. Here to talk about the latest and some big fall camp headlines. Now, last week, kind of made a joke at the top of it. It was day one, so there wasn't a whole lot to go off of that first day of fall camp, but it's been a week. And there's a whole lot of news coming out of UVA fall camp right now. So, Greg, thanks for coming on today. It's probably not the news that Virginia fans wanted to hear, though.
No, it's unfortunate. It kind of feels like deja vu, right? Virginia acquires a highly sought-after offensive lineman, offensive tackle in the transfer portal. And very early into practice, that offensive lineman goes down, right? In the spring, yeah, it was Monroe Mills. And in this training camp, it's McKeelan Thomas. It's unfortunate. Highly regarded transfer player, older graduate transfer player out of Arkansas State. Was an all Sun Belt performer. I think only four sacks allowed over 22 games in the last 2 years. He goes down with a bone fracture in his foot. And Tony Elliott said yesterday when I asked him, it's going to be a multiple month injury. The usual timetables, 3 months. You do the math to see what that outlook is. Maybe if Virginia's playing well in November, he can help out. But you just it's hard to say at this point because it's so early. And as Tony said, like, they got to figure out how he heals from it and what kind of progression he can make. It's the same injury Ethan Sipe had last year, the transfer offensive lineman from Dartmouth. And he did not play last season. So that kind of gives you an idea of how it could go. So it's tough, Preston. That's a player they were counting on. Their projected starting right tackle, just like Mills was in the spring. and after Mills went down, they went out and got Thomas. It's just very, very tough. It's an unfortunate situation for UVA.
Yeah, just you went over most of the details, but just kind of wrapping things up from what Tony Elliott said about the injury. Obviously, we saw him first on a scooter, the little knee scooter that you scoot around on when you're injured, and then a boot on his right foot. I think that was day three of fall camp last week. We reported it then, and then, you know, he missed a day, had surgery, and he was back with the team on Wednesday. Obviously, the injury happened on day two, so we were there on day one. Day two, ACC Network was there. The injury happens that day, and then the next day we come back and we see him kind of in that condition. Yeah, and like Tony Elliott said, it was just step wrong and fractured a bone in his right foot, just kind of going against air, and sometimes those are the worst injuries. Had surgery, back with the team on Wednesday. Elliott said he's hopeful Thomas will return, but it is a multi-month recovery, like you just said. And they're going to have to see, you know, kind of how he heals and everything. And he brought up a really good point there with Ethan Sipe. He had a similar injury last year and ended up missing the entire season. So he said typically a three-month timetable. They said maybe 2 months, but, you know, they're all going to have to, you know, see how this plays out. But yeah, like you said, not ideal. And it was funny because I asked Terry Heffernan, the offensive line coach, at the coaches' luncheon this year. I was like, I mean, how did you feel? You kind of recovered from, you know, losing Monroe Mills, your big kind of get in the transfer portal outside of the quarterback and Chandler Morris. And, you know, he was really happy because Thomas had been probably one of the best athletes on the offensive line, if not the best. Mikael Boley, who'd usually been the best athlete on the offensive line and been lapping everyone in those runs. Thomas was beating him now more often than not. So that's how good of a prospect he was. And then I think people, I was saying this, you know, kind of as we were learning more about him, but he is 6'3", but he is broad-shouldered, long arms, like every part of the prototypical right tackle that you want. So a huge loss for them on the offensive line. And We can get into, kind of this next part, the offensive lineman that, Tony Elliott and everyone else has been talking about is potential replacements. We've seen the sophomore Ben York getting a lot of reps on that first offensive line. You've also got the former New Mexico slash Kentucky to Virginia transfer in Wallace Unamba. Then some guys that are working on the left, but can also flip over to the right, David Wolaba, the Syracuse transfer, and also Jack Whitmer, who played both left and right tackle last season. So a lot of options there, but definitely not ideal start losing your two top offensive linemen.
Nah, it's interesting. The East West Shrine Bowl put out its East West Shrine 1000, which is essentially the group of the 1,000 best draft eligible prospects in college football. And three of Virginia's nine players on that list are offensive linemen. Two of them were Mills and Thomas. So that kind of tells you the other offensive lineman is Boley, of course, on that list. But that kind of tells you the significance of these losses. For me, I look at the potential replacement. Tony said yesterday they feel like they have viable options. And maybe it's not one guy stepping in and taking all the reps like it had to be in the past when somebody got hurt. Maybe it's a combination of Virginia figuring out like, hey, you can use Ben York. He's up and coming and he's shown some good things in practice. Maybe it's saying Wallace Unamba had a really good season, was one of the better pass blockers last year in the group of five level while at New Mexico playing for Bronco Mendenhall. And then maybe you throw Wolaba over there occasionally because he's got snaps. Right, he started a game in the SEC when he was at Kentucky. He started games in the ACC at Syracuse, and Whitmer, of course, has started games too. And it was a nice story last year on a during a tough year for the Hoos, but he was a nice story from walk on and tight end to eventual starting tackle when Boley was hurt. So maybe it's a combination of players UVA uses to fill the void. Maybe one guy emerges, but at least there's some more options there than in the past. You just don't want to get any further down the depth chart, right? You got to keep these guys healthy. And I don't know like what the recipe for success is there because it's such a fine line. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Like for Tony and the football staff at Virginia, you need these players to take reps, right? You brought in 32 transfers. You can't just hope you can get through practice with maybe doing minimal team or minimal physical contact. No, you need these guys to take reps because they have to play as a group for the first time in less than a month, right? You can't just hope everybody stays healthy and play preventative football for the next 3 weeks in practice. You've got to go and get some reps for your team to start to gel. It's a very fine line, so it's hard to blame anybody when this time of year when you've got that newcomer factor that you haven't had this drastically at Virginia ever,
But I mean, and these injuries, they're not contact injuries.
That's
They're
true
just
too.
things that happen. Like there's nothing, I don't think there's anything preventative for a broken bone in your foot. I'm not a
No.
doctor. I have no medical degrees hanging behind
Yeah.
me. But I just don't see any ways that you could kind of prevent a broken foot from just happening when a guy takes the wrong step, or even another injury we'll talk about later. A guy just comes down wrong on his leg. Like that's just stuff that happens, and it's freak injuries.
That's during a one-on-one drill with Jamarik Morris you're talking about. Like those guys have to get those reps. They have to evaluate who can cover a wide receiver, right? And one way to do that is to find out through one-on-one drills. You can't not do that.
This is, I just don't think there's anything different you can do coaching. I mean, other than maybe moving off the Indian burial ground that's underneath the field of George Welsh. It's been crazy. But while we're at the offensive line, real quick, you mentioned it, you're down two offensive tackles already. This is why you brought in the depth, but you thought maybe you'd get a little further along in the season before you had to go into the depth, and now you're already having to use it. So I think now, especially at that right tackle position, you're kind of at the point where you're like, okay, we're good because we have the depth, we have options, and we feel pretty good about those options, but we can't get further down this list because otherwise then we're going to end up back in a similar situation that we were last year. But yeah, again, it's nothing that you can prevent. But looking at some of the other guys that have been kind of working with the ones, Mikal Boley returning back at left tackle, Noah Josi left guard, Brady Wilson, obviously the kind of knocked on starter there at center, and then Tyshawn Wyatt from JMU has kind of made the transition from right tackle going into right guard. I guess, if they
I
so
think that
happens, he's another guy that could move over if you
he
need
was
it.
he didn't participate in practice the last couple practices, so he's a guy, another injury history guy to watch, and that's tough because you're counting on some competition at that right guard spot. You got Drake Metcalf, who's coming off the Achilles injury. Maybe he's the front runner at this point for that right guard spot. Kevin Wigginton has played and started games, Michigan State, and also he's played at Illinois, did not start there. Sparse, of course, compared to what he did at Michigan State. But maybe you have maybe the competition is more headed that way between Metcalf and Wigginton until they can get Wyatt back on the field.
Well, I think another thing that Elliot and some of the other coaches have talked about is managing those reps as you kind of get through fall camp. And because you
Yeah.
have more guys that can rotate in there, yeah, maybe Tyshawn Wyatt can take a few days off if he does, get a little banged up. You don't have to force him out there because you'd only have six offensive linemen to run out there. So, yeah, we'll see how this offensive line shapes up. I think it's still in a decent position. Obviously, it doesn't have the top end talent at the right tackle position that they were expecting to have. That I know Terry Heffernan had really looked forward to having there.
Yeah.
Mentioned the other injury, Jamarik Morris, torn ACL, happened in a one-on-one drill, just came down wrong on that leg. He announced on Instagram himself that it was a torn ACL and he will miss the entire season. That is the third cornerback out for the season now, joining Jam Jackson, Dre Walker, and Jamarik Morris. So now all the people that are making fun of that you have seven cornerbacks that Virginia's adding through the transfer portal, like you feel pretty good that they're adding that many cornerbacks to the transfer portal because you kind of need them all. A couple other injuries that Tony Elliott mentioned, Mekhi Buchanan out a couple weeks. Christian Charles has still been a little limited and saw Antonio Clary out of practice wearing a sleeve on that leg, but he has still not been practicing yet. I think that pretty much rounds up all the injuries.
Yeah, Kayvon Gray, another corner. He's got a low ankle sprain. He, you may end up needing him depending on what's going on with this group, positionally. But yeah, I would say those are the main ones at this point. There's been some other guys kind of in and out or in yellow, limited, but I don't really count those during training camp. But until they're on
It
the side,
happens.
until they're on the sideline and out, like it's hard to count those, nicks and bruises.
And that's why you didn't want to react too quickly to the Michaelin Thomas thing because guys are wearing boots all the time during
Yeah.
practice.
Oh,
But
yeah.
so you didn't really know what that was going to look like until you kind of get the official confirmation. But looking at that cornerback room, I think you asked Tony if there was any kind of separation
Yeah.
there. Doesn't seem like it at this point. Jamarik Morris, he said, was playing well before
Yeah.
he got injured.
I do think they have some better options maybe than they've had in the past. You like the combination of depth probably before Morris got hurt. And last year they did a good job. Everybody keeps asking me, like, how are they going to bring in two new starters? Well, you look back at the history since Tony Elliott's gotten here, that's all they've done is broken in new starters, right? The first year it was, well, Anthony Johnson had been a starter the year before, but Fentrell Cypress was a new starter. The next year you had who'd you have back?
Cohen King.
Cohen King, you move Cohen King from safety
Yeah,
to
it's safety
corner,
corner.
and then you broke in a transfer. And then last year, of course, right, you had Kempton Shine and Jam Jackson. So like the coaching staff's become accustomed to having to break in new starters. And I think, the combination of like Donovan Platt from Army, who they were just so excited to get in the portal. And then Jordan Robinson, I think you know this too. Like, we've talked about this when we're standing at practice, is like Jordan Robinson's 6'4", 6'5". It's like that tall, lanky corner that John Rudzinski and Kerome Cox seem to always find and put on the roster. And then Emmanuel Carnley too, who played for Arizona last year, and even though he had a pit stop at Miami in the spring, he's at Virginia now. So I think there's some options at corner. Still got to figure it out. I think Tony's line to me was like, We'll see what happens in the scrimmage on Saturday. It was like the
Yeah.
crux of it after he got through saying Morris was having a really good camp until the injury.
Yeah, it is unfortunate injuries happen, but it kind of deviates the plan. We'll see what happens in that scrimmage. But yeah, I think between Platt, Carnley, who was very highly rated coming in as a transfer, Jordan Robinson, again, big, has played at the Power Five level. They got some other options around there, some guys that can have some positional flexibility. I know Pervard is mainly playing as that kind of nickel,
Nickel, yeah.
spur kind of position right now, but he's a guy that has experience outside if it comes to that during the season.
Yeah.
And they've got some younger guys in that room as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I guess we'll see what happens in the scrimmage if anyone stands out there. But before we get into five players that are grabbing our attention in camp, I want to talk about some of the differences that we are seeing and sometimes just hearing in fall camp right now. It seems like there's a little bit more chippiness, a little bit more of an edge, a little bit more, I don't know if competition is the right word. Just it seems like there's a little bit more to it. You hear Tony Elliott kind of getting on the team a little bit more. I know we've heard it a little bit, standing outside of practice, waiting to go in for interviews and everything. And what do you think of just kind of the feel around the building right now?
I think there's more urgency, undoubtedly, and for good reason. There's a couple of factors I think in play, and just to be blunt about it, right? You have an older, experienced team. You have 32 transfers involved in this process, and it's year four for the head coach, and it's a big year. I think I even overheard when they were running gassers the other day, Tony Elliott yell at one point, "How many games have we won in the last 3 years?" As he was barking at them during their gassers. So I think he recognizes the opportunity this group has. And I think too, like this is an older team, and maybe you can do that, right? There's not as much, bring them along, hope for the best attitude. There's this like, we went out, paid for players. Have accomplished players. Let's go win some football games, kind of mindset. And that's kind of what I make of it, at least. And I think that's the right attitude with this group, right? This team has 7th year seniors, 6th year seniors, 5th year seniors, guys who have been at three different programs. Like, forget the acclimation period. Get on them and get moving. Right? I think that's the important part in all this is you got all this talent and there's a necessary urgency to bring it together by the time August 30th hits. Because you got to have that core group together and believing. And I even asked Tony about it last night during his presser, and he said, it is part of it. That when you have that many new players, you have to establish the mentality and kind of, I guess, culture of the team, so to speak. So I think it's an important part as you look at this transition Virginia made into being a program that went out and acquired players.
Yeah, and I think don't underestimate, and obviously there's urgency with the coaching staff, but don't underestimate the urgency with some of these players. They're only here
Yeah.
for a year, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So they have
Yeah.
one more chance to impress NFL scouts or, just to have in their college career on a high note. So I wouldn't underestimate that. And especially a lot of the guys that have been in the program for a long time. You talk about James Jackson, you talk about Mikael Boley, Noah Josi,
Some of these guys have
just,
never been to a bowl game, right? Most of
yeah.
the group has never been to a bowl game.
The only guy that's on the roster that has played in a Virginia uniform in a bowl game is Antonio Clary.
Yeah.
And that was 2019. So it has
Yeah.
been a long time. And I think a lot of guys want to see that end, but not just a bowl game, because I think they feel
Yeah.
they have more potential than that, than just to reach the, the Gator Motor City, blah, 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 bowl. Copyright pending. Let's get into a couple guys that are turning our heads in camp right now.
Yeah.
I'll throw out one first, just because I was standing there watching drills the other day, and the one guy he was talking a lot, and obviously rightfully so, he's a veteran on the team. But just looks like he's moving really well out there. It's James Jackson, the linebacker, and you wrote a story about him, changed his number from 7 to 1. But it just looks like he's moving really well out there, coming off the injury from last year. He's a guy that in the past people have criticized that maybe he's not, quick enough, but he looks quick. He was covering Xavier Brown in one of those drills. I don't know what the drill was called. We'd never seen it before. Like they're running around a cone, coming back, and then Jackson was like tipping the ball away from Xavier Brown, chewing him out a little bit. Like they're going at it, and you like to see that from your best players in the team. But yeah, Jackson looks really solid, and you got a really solid linebacker group right there now next to Cam Robinson. You got Trey McDonald there, and then Maddox Marcellus, the transfer. So I think James Jackson is coming back, to finish out on a high note his last year.
Yeah, I think too with that linebacker group, what a luxury for Virginia as it's breaking in, a remade secondary and even new players on the defensive line, right at the edge positions, a defensive end at the bandit spot. Like you have the linebacker group to communicate and align everybody before the ball is snapped as everybody starts to learn this defense. I wrote about that a little bit for a story this morning, and I'm just I think it's such a critical factor. Rudzinski's like the ability for these three to get everybody lined up is elite. the defensive coordinator John Rudzinski. So I think that's another important factor. And Jackson and McDonald and Cam, they all realize that. They all know that's part of their responsibility. So I think that's a good one. I think that's a good one.
The other one, the receiver group. This is there's a lot of receivers in that room. I saw that. Yeah, there's like odds for like stat leaders in the ACC, and Trell Harris actually had 10-1 odds to lead the ACC in receiving yards, which was interesting. I don't gamble on that type of stuff, but looking at the receiver room, one name that keeps kind of popping up is Cam Ross, the transfer from JMU. And in the spring, I didn't get a ton of that, but in the fall, it's kind of he's had a good summer and he's really come back this fall. And they're using him in a couple different positions, and he's really seems to be the guy that is kind of standing out among those slot guys. I mean, there's so many of them: Cam Courtney, Starian Harrison, Josiah Abdullah, the true freshman. But Cam Ross really seems to be standing out in that spot right now. He has the claim as the fastest player on the team.
And that's important to know because how much was Virginia's offense hampered last year when Harris got hurt and they didn't have, as much speed to make up for the loss of him. So I think that's an important factor for him too. Can I throw one at you? Can I
Yeah,
throw
go
one at
for it.
you? We weren't thinking of true freshman Corey Costner in the
Yeah.
defensive backfield. I've heard his name a bunch, and I've asked a couple of different people, and I think there's a shot that he plays, and contributes as a true freshman, and that says a lot. Even after Virginia brought in a bunch of transfer defensive backs, I think that player at the spur, nickel, that type of position, especially Christian Charles dinged up, a couple other injuries in the secondary, like it wouldn't surprise me to see Corey Costner running around. And I don't know if he'll start, but I wouldn't surprise me to see him factor in.
Yeah, sometimes with these early enrollee guys, they get a little bit of pub in the spring because they're new and you're getting used to them, and you compliment the freshmen that are early enrollees and made that decision. But then like some of the noise dies off after the spring. But Corey's name just kind of keeps steadily going up, and you talk to position coaches. I think even Tony Elliott's mentioned his name at times. Like he's a guy that is continuously in the thinking of coaches right now. So that's a good shout right there, especially because he's playing a position that kind of has a lot of what are they going to do with the spur nickel position this year? I know they're thinking about maybe kind of making it a hybrid thing for different downs and situations, but Corey Costner is definitely a guy that could probably play in either situation. Edge rushers, a lot of new names in that room, and the guy that again has kind of like steadily gone up in stock is Mitchell Melton, the defensive end transfer from Ohio State. He's got a national championship ring now, and now he's come to Charlottesville to see if he can win there too in his last stop. But what strikes me about him is hearing Tony Elliott talk about the actual right tackle position, talk about Ben York, and saying how nice it is for Ben York to go up against someone like Mitchell Melton in practice to get him better and get him tuned up. I think that's how highly they think of Mitchell Melton at this point. And he seems like pretty much a guy that's going to be up at the top of the depth chart once the season starts.
I would think so. And it's funny, like going back to ACC kickoff in July, I was able to speak with Devin Brown, who's at Cal now, former Ohio State quarterback, about Melton. He's like, man, He's like, if Mitchell's healthy, you know what he'll be able to do in the ACC is going to be off the charts. He's like, it'll be scary good. And I think at Ohio State, with just how many of those type of top tier pass rushers that are on the roster, his role was very limited, right? After he had fought back from a couple of different injuries, ACL particularly, a couple of ACL injuries, that now at Virginia, he's at a point where he's healthy, he's motivated, and he has an opportunity to really be a standout on defense.
Another guy on defense, another transfer. We're talking about this cornerback room, who's kind of sticking out there. Donovan Platt's a guy that his name's kind of been up there a lot, the Army transfer. I know you wrote about him, but one thing that stuck out to me from a conversation I had with him in one of those media availabilities was talking about that Army team last year that, had a really good breakout season last year for the Black Knights. And he was saying, like, talking about some of the stuff around the program, kind of the feel in the building, as they kind of went on this team. And he says he feels some of that right now at Virginia. We'll see to what success level that goes to, but he says he can kind of feel a very similar vibe and energy. But what more can you tell us about Platt?
That Virginia tried very hard to get him. Keith Gaither told me it was kind of a five-man team of recruitment to get Platt. Gaither was previously an assistant at Army, and he had recruited Platt to Army when Platt committed there. Left basically as soon as Platt got there to go to UVA and join Tony Elliott's staff. And in doing so and landing Platt, he won the recruiting battle against Kevin Downing, who was UVA's defensive tackles coach, who was at Navy. So it came down to Army and Navy for Platt. He chose Gaither and Army over Downing and Navy. So that's kind of the background there and how Virginia got in, because Downing and Gaither kind of led the full push to land Platt, because they knew, not only how good of a person he is, but also how good of a player he could be for UVA in a time where they were looking for cornerbacks. And he had other options, right? Baylor, Mississippi State, NC State, North Carolina, and he's from like just south of Greensboro, so he could have chosen to go really close to home. Ended up at Virginia with guys he trusted, and Rudzinski and Karrum Cox were involved also. So was Shadon Brown, a defensive analyst who had been at Army in the past also. So it was a whole tag team role there for Virginia as they went to land Platt, and they're very happy they got him. A lot of moving parts to get a kid out of West Point, but very
Yeah.
happy they got him.
I like this, like, dueling, Kevin Downing versus Keith Gaither narrative. Two of Virginia's better recruiters out there, and then now they reunite and join forces to bring Platt now to his final home, hopefully in Charlottesville. That's a really cool story. But last one, and we're going to throw this in there just because it may seem obvious. He is the starting quarterback, but Chandler Morris has continued just to really take a stranglehold of this Virginia program. And I think I ask every guy I talk to about Chandler Morris just because trying to learn more about him, even guys on the defensive side of the football, and they've come away impressed. Kind of telling, talking about some of his likes and interests and what he's like off the field, and just a really kind of family football focused guy. And that seems to be kind of the MO, but also just such confidence. I mean, you can only go back to that story about him in the locker room, the first, whatever meeting it was, and saying that, he was there to win championships and everything. Can only bring that up so many times, but that's kind of been the MO and his confidence that he's kind of, just had since he got to Charlottesville. And he's looked good out there too. See a little bit of him throwing. It's kind of rare in these Virginia practices right now. You're like, oh wait, they're throwing. I gotta go over there, because you may only get a glimpse of it right now.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think it was after Monday's practice, walking up to interviews, Tony Elliott was addressing the team, and then Chandler Morris addressed the team. So I think that says a little bit about where he's at in terms of the leadership. But then also, you just talk to his receivers, and man, they're excited. They're really excited. Talked to Trell Harris last night, and he's like, "Yeah, he threw for 31 touchdowns. Of course, I'm excited." He was like, "Morris throws a very catchable ball. Whether you're running something, what run rather running a deep route, a crossing route, He's like, you know where the ball is going to be. And he said, that's really, really nice for a receiver. And then like just collectively, the way Morris spreads the ball around is something in camp that I've heard a little bit about, and how you kind of got to be ready at all times if you're a receiver, because, you know, I think he had what, 5 games last year where he completed passes to at least 10 different receivers. In all 12 of his games, he completed passes to at least 8 different receivers. So it's something where he's going to keep everybody involved, and I think that's nice.
He's that classic traditional like playmaker point guard type
Yeah.
quarterback
Oh,
that
yeah.
just wants to get the ball into his playmaker's hands however he can. And he can do a little bit on the ground with himself, and that's been shown in practice in the spring game a little bit. But loves to get the ball out to those playmakers and make plays. All right, we got the scrimmage coming up on Saturday, Greg. Anything you're looking for in your brief window of time out there?
Health. Get out, everybody get out healthy, right? I mean, you gotta do the scrimmage. No, but I think too, like, you're gonna want to, if you're Virginia's coaching staff, like, you gotta evaluate your position battles, right guard, right tackle, corner, safety, right? That's what you gotta kind of figure out. And at this point, I know there's some other battles, right, going on. Number three running back, it kind of sounds like who's the guy behind Jamari Taylor and Xavier Brown? Is it Harrison Whaley or Noah Vaughn? But really, beyond that, I think you're just trying to sort out those other position, sort out those main position battles that I mentioned, and then stay healthy.
That sounds about right. All right, that'll do it for this week's camp report. Greg Medea, thank you for coming on. We will be back next week with more here on the Who's On podcast. We have Lo Davis, executive director from CAB Futures Marketing Inc. now, and he will be coming on next week, so we'll hear from Lo. But until then, thanks for listening to the Who's On podcast.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.